Well, well, it's happened again, Shigsy boy. This paper from the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah, yeah.
Heaven and Kel.
Deja vu
again.
Deja vu.
The best, and I will say this, Shigs, with my chest, the best backup goalkeeper in the league.
You hear no argument from me, my friend.
And saved us again. And listen to this stat just before we jump straight into the pod. Straight off the bat, this stat is sensational. Quevin Kelleher has now won more penalty shootouts than any other Liverpool goalkeeper in the entire club's history, which is four. And he's done that in 18 appearances.
Wow. So, I hope
we're gonna get
the only thing I worry about is because he's such a good goalkeeper, how long are we gonna be able to keep him before someone else comes and plucks him?
100%. We'll get into it, but hey guys, welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. I thought I'd just start things a bit differently there. Once again, we are brought to you by Sporting In, the best football app on the market right now. You can download it for free. Join our Sporting In group chat and wax lyrical about that beautiful Irishman that we have in between the sticks that saved us. And he did save us because Bobby Firmino, he's still looking. Some Derby fans gone to the back of Anfield Road and they're looking for that football.
I'm sure you'll
have a lot to say about that in a bit. But Shigs, let's get into it, man. First of all, we'll get into some comments before I ask you how you're doing. Quevin Kelleher, you're the love of my life.
Easy.
Any Dubai news? Also, Kelleher, wow. We'll get on to the ownership stuff a little bit later, mate. Yeah. Never seen officiating that bad. That keeper's off his line every pen, bro.
But I said the same thing, bro. Shout out.
Yeah, we'll get on to it. We'll get on to it. Trust me, we'll get on to it. All that happened was he received a talking to. Yeah, it was an absolute scandal.
I was expecting the penalty to be taken again.
Yeah, what happened was, and we'll get on to it. We'll save that bit until we get to it. But Shigs is off camera tonight because he's got his little baby with him. So he's on daddy duties. So unfortunately, you can't see his handsome face, but you can hear his voice instead. So Shigs, how are you, mate? And how did you find that game, mate?
I'm very well. Listen, I think that game put my daughter to sleep, bro. That's weird, Dad. Because don't get me wrong, like they up to the 18-yard box, we played some lovely football, but you could see the Derby defenders were too physical for our attackers. They couldn't whip balls in. They couldn't. So I'm not gonna get on them because the physicality of the our Derby. They're in the Championship, aren't they? Or they get relegated.
League One. They got relegated. Yeah, they had.
Okay, they're League One, but League One Championship, the defenders in that league are physical, and we didn't really have the talent up front to be able to show the ingenuity. So I'm not too disappointed. Just in terms of our play was good. Ramsey looked good. Clark looked good.
We'll get on to it. We'll get the team. I was going to put the lineup on and ask you straight off the bat. Chat as well, let me know your opinions, we'll get them up. But first of all, there's 13 of you in here, so please make sure we smash that like button. That would help us massively. And on the last stream with the ownership news, we actually reached our 300 subscriber mini milestone. So thank you very much for that. Keep the subscriptions coming if you haven't already. We're trying to get to 350. That's the next one. But yeah, the lineup, Shigs, I'm not gonna lie to you, mate. I was expecting this lineup because it was floating around pretty much all day. Yeah. And the first thing I said, and I can prove this, I'm not going to, but I was telling people there's too much youth in that squad for me. And I get it. We don't need to prioritize these games when we already have the injuries we have. The World Cup's just around the corner. You know, we need the players. You know, Saturday's the priority. If you ask anyone what game they would have rather won, for me, it's Southampton all day long. But I didn't have any qualms with Klopp going youthful. But when I see that much youth in the same team, I'm expecting a tough game. You can be whatever level opposition you want. Yeah. You can be in League One. You can be National League. If it's boys against men, 9 times out of 10, the men, you know, usually
they
might not win, but they give it a good go. You know what I mean? So today we saw, obviously, Kelleher in goal. Ramsey, his first full debut. So that's one youth player. Stefan Bajcetic, again, I think that was his first full debut as well. He's come on bits and pieces.
First full game.
Bobby Clark, Florendorf, Leighton Stewart, and then obviously Fabio Carvalho, who's obviously played first team football, but still not really, he's not the final product anywhere near it. So my first reaction, mate. Like, this is not going to be an easy game. Like, people think, oh, it's Derby, it's League One opposition. But we know the squad, right? We know who plays well. We know who our good players are, mate. And did you feel like you was on the same wavelength as me, or was you always confident that we'd somehow win the game?
I was confident we'd win the game. I just, because even though it's a very young team, they were still playing good football. It weren't long ball or it was, there was some intricate play. And in the second half, they started to ramp it up. So I wasn't, but the longer the game went on, the more and more I was like, oh, this is going to pens. Because even though we played well up to the 18-yard box, there was no one to give that us that spark up front, unfortunately. And I get it.
Until this boy came on, mate.
Well,
listen, I tweeted it before. If you haven't invested in your Ben Doak stocks, it's too late.
Yeah, he made a big difference when he came in. He just looked like he didn't have no respect for the Derby defence.
Scottish Messi, I'm saying it now.
Yeah. Well, we've got the Ramsey there as well. Robson.
Have you seen Ben Doak in the UEFA Youth League?
Yeah, I saw
every game, bro. He does a madness every game. Yeah,
I especially get to the Ajax game. He was on smoke. Yeah. So yeah, but it was Clark and Bacicic. They stood out for me. They kept the ball well. They kept it recycled. They recycled it. Was tidy on the ball. But like I said, until Doak came on, we didn't really have a cutting edge up front. But I don't know. It's Chamberlain's first game back, but again, in that kind of company, he didn't stand out. I didn't even realize he was playing.
It's a big point, mate. It's a big point because I don't know what you thought of Tsimikas, but those two players, I needed more from today. The heads of the team.
The problem with Tsimikas is he's a great deliverer. Good deliverer of the ball, and there was not really much for him to whip the ball into. That was the only kind of, with the size of the strikers we had in the area, him whipping balls into the area wouldn't have done anything. So, but I get what you're saying. He could have done a little bit more, but I'm just thinking, what could he have done, in my opinion?
No, that's fair. But yeah, you're banging about Oxlade Chamberlain. Like you say, he's come back from injury, so you know, you've got to bear that in mind. This is first game back. But at the same time, you know, like I said, they're the senior players of this team. When these kids are coming through to start for Liverpool, you've kind of got to be the leader, be the player that takes the game by the scruff of its neck. And I didn't see that today from Ox. I didn't see it from Tsimikas. I think Nunes and Firmino and Elliot came on a bit too late. I think if they came on the 60th, I think, or the 55th, I think, you know, we probably would have scored in the 90th. But you could see it when it came on. It was just like, obviously, Derby, and to their credit, defended brilliantly, and they just had everyone behind the ball, which you'd expect, because for these teams coming to Anfield or to big grounds now, obviously now there's no extra time. Penalties is a huge incentive for them, and they could have easily won on pens today, to be honest, because our pens weren't great. Let's be real. Even Darwin's that trickled in wasn't a great pen. I thought he missed as well. I was fully expecting it to like clipped on Twitter or something if he missed as well. But yeah, no, look, we did what we had to do. We put the kids out. We got no injuries out of even the players that played today, which is always a bonus.
Yeah.
And now everyone's fresh for Saturday that's going to start. So it's a good day at the office. Performance-wise, I don't think it was amazing. Nothing really to write home about. I think you hit the nail on the head. But Bacicic was really good. Ramsey, I like Ramsey. I think he's looking quality. I think, you know, we saw it in the 10, 15-minute cameo he got against Napoli, that he's very confident on the ball. We saw it again today. He was playing with his left foot as well, which I thought was really impressive. Like, when you see a kid using both feet, it's like, wow, you know, you must be so confident to do that kind of thing. Apart from that, I wasn't really impressed by any of the others, I can't lie.
No, neither was I. I think Carvalho's best position is at AMF, personally. I don't think he's a left winger, but obviously, Klopp is a manager. He does what he needs to do. But I just think he's a better creator. I think he's not in same mold as Elliot, but they when they're on the cent in the center of the pitch, they do more. I think Carvalho doesn't have the speed to kind of get away from someone. He's more a trickery kind of person. So when he was on the left, because there was no one in the middle for him to kind of play off, his talent wasn't utilized as best it can be. But again, it's a Carabao Cup thing. It's derby. I'm not expecting the world beaters, but it was just disappointing. Like I said, we didn't really kind of test the keeper that much. It was long balls, the shots over the bar. There was a chance in the second half where we created it as well. I think it came out to Chamberlain and he hit it over. But
there's that one as well where Elliot, I think he doesn't really know whether to bring it down or shoot.
Yeah.
And he kind of in between.
Yeah. But like I said, it's a good run out for the youngsters. They get a win at Anfield.
This is a good point, by the way. Just to interrupt you there, mate. I really wanted to say this, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Right. Pep Linger's made a quote in his press conference, and for whatever reason, I don't understand. Whenever Pep Linger's says stuff, our fans, or should I say the fans on Twitter, melt down and call him names and all of this nonsense. And what Pep Linger said, right, is this competition, it's who we are. It's like it shows our values and all that kind of stuff. And people were like, what is he on about the Carabao Cup? But I fully understood what he meant by that. And what he meant by that, as you look at those five or six youth players that played today, they've got the opportunity to play at a sold out Anfield, right? They might never get that opportunity again. So we've given those players that moment to, you know, that they'll cherish for life pretty much, you know, especially if they scored a penalty or whatever. And then you've got the fans in the ground. A lot of those fans in the ground today will probably be their first time at Anfield. You know, you think of all those kids that you saw in the Kop. Like, kids don't usually get to sit on the Kop. Yeah. So for those guys in the crowd that might not necessarily be able to go to many games, the young players that came in today, that's what Pep Linger's was on about. That's why this Carabao Cup for us is a competition that they do like. It's not because, you know, they think it's a massive trophy, which of course we want to win. We want to win every trophy we can. You know, look at last season, we took it quite seriously. But when Pep said that this competition, it kind of like, it's what we stand for. That's what he meant. Those players that played today, and when you looked in the crowd, you see all these little kids like standing up, getting really excited to see their team play in front of their very eyes. That's what Pep Linger's meant.
Yeah, I hear that. I fully get what you're saying. But you know what is with Pep Linger's? I just think people haven't forgiven him for what he said in his book about when you're in trouble, who do you turn to? Listen, they're like, they don't want to hear nothing that guy has to say anymore. When you're making statements like that at the last line of your book, bro, I get it. But he's right. But in what you're saying, though, he is right, because there's no other competition that you could really play that amount of young players and them, and no expectation be put on them kind of thing. It's just, okay, yeah. We wanted you to get used to playing in the bigger games and on a big stage, even though with derby, with all respect, but it's a big game because it's a competition, a game that absolutely we want to win. And it breeds confidence as well. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those players that play today play again in the next round.
Yeah, speaking of the next round, mate, Mohamed Salah's in the building, so I hope you're well, Mo. Hope you're resting up, ready for Saturday, because I am captain and you don't tell anyone, but you are my captain over Erling Haaland. Mo says Spurs, Chelsea, West Ham and Arsenal are all out, Shigs. So,
yeah, no,
what are you saying about that? Do you think we can retain our trophy?
Yeah, I think we can. I think it'll be Man City Liverpool final. Bro, listen.
Well, it's a semi-final in the FA Cup last time, but you know.
Yeah, to date, that is probably one of the best days that I've ever had.
Me too.
So, but I wouldn't mind a repeat of that same result as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those teams going out are big. I mean, hopefully we get another, like, lesser side in the draw, which I think is tomorrow after the United game. But look, I don't think there's too much more to speak on the game. We've covered pretty much all the bases. Unless we'll talk about the penalties. We will talk about that keeper, Shig, for just a moment, because me and brother were watching it on the stream. Like, I hate it when we're on streams because we set it up on a laptop, then you have to fiddle around with HDMIs to put it through a telly. It's all along. But we did it, and we're fuming because the first penalty is like 2 yards off his line. And then after they've taken the penalty and he saved it, the referee pulls him to the side and basically warns him. And I'm like, well, if you've spotted he's done that, surely he has to retake the pen, no?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was screaming.
And then he did it again.
Yeah.
So what is this?
I was like, hold on. What? Like, because what? He's not taking it again. That's like the guy was way off his line. His
every time. And then he starts standing inside the goal. And I'm thinking, what an idiot. Like, what are you doing here?
But yeah, I was just like, I just started laughing because I was like, but then you know what? As soon as Kelleher said the first one, yeah, I said, right, I predicted every way the way each one would go after that, and they went that way. So he said it to his right. I said, this guy's going left, went left. The next guy that came up, he was gonna go down the middle. I knew it because it's like down the middle is always the most effective way to score a pen, isn't it? Just because the keeper they always gotta die. But listen, all of the saves that he made were quality, man. All of them, they weren't like crap penalties from Derby. I've got to give them their credit. They were good. They were good.
Kelleher had to dive, bro, to make the save. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But look, we'll wrap up there in terms of the game. We are going to carry on the conversation about the ownership for a little bit, mate, because a few things I think have come to surface since the last time we spoke about this. Obviously, last night there was rumours of a Qatar-based company or something coming in. But Dominic King this morning has dismissed any talk of Saudi Arabia, Qatar or Abu Dhabi buying Liverpool. But, and this is the big but, he didn't mention anything about Dubai. So there's still a lot of rumours about a Dubai-based ownership coming in. And tonight, or this evening, I think the talk is... I can't remember the guy's name. There's a guy that someone. Let me know, guys. Steve something, part of Microsoft or something. I can't remember his name. Steve Ball something. Let me know, chat, if you know what I'm referring to. But there's another guy. But the general consensus, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Shiggs, from The Athletic and other very like highly respected sources, is that the direction is probably going to go in if they sell is to Steve Ballmer. That's it. Thank you, Daz. Owner of the Lakers. Is that it's probably going to be Americans that the club is sold to if there's a sell. So what are your thoughts on that, mate? I know we had a conversation the other day about the potential ownership and would we be happy for it to go to, Abu Dhabi or Dubai or Qatar. So what are your thoughts on like any of the other things we've seen so far, mate?
Steve, the guy who owns the Lakers, he's meant to be a good guy because I know it was, I forgot the name that he owned it before, but he seems to be a good owner. He seems to be able to put his money where his mouth is kind of thing, but it's, I don't know. It depends what kind of model that they bring into.
75 billion, by the way.
Before they go, so that's a ridiculous amount, but. I to be honest with you, it's hard to kind of gauge any owner because the Lakers are kind of like Liverpool. They're a historic franchise over there, so he would probably get the understanding of obviously Liverpool being a prestigious team. Again, it just depends on how they go about spending money, because let's be honest, when you take over a team, you're gonna have to, this team needs to get rebuilt. So what kind of money? It's all well and good them taking over, but what's the infrastructure gonna be like? What's the plan gonna be to spend money on the team? How would they go about it? Would they do the same kind of thing FSG did in terms of the money ball tactic, or are they gonna have a plan? Okay, we're gonna try and get the best. As an owner, he seems like a good owner, but football is different to basketball. With basketball, they get to kind of trade and do all that kind of stuff. This one, you don't get to trade. You have to put money in your own pocket, out of your own pocket, to buy players. And that's where the kind of hesitancy comes with me in terms of, is he really going to be putting his hand in his pocket but to spend money? Because you saw with Arsenal and with the Conkeys, they didn't really start putting money in until the last, season and a half? And look how long they've been there.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
It's an interesting time. Personally, I would prefer it to be the Dubai people, because then, man, I know the whole human rights thing is not great, but no one in business, and I know there's levels to it, but no one in business has a clean slate. Nobody. Everybody, I believe everybody's done something unscrupulous to get to that point. Someone has to. But again, we'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping this is Dubai people, because it will kind of, the reason I say that, I'll explain it. The reason I say that is because that Middle Eastern kind of area, they'll all have their own teams. So in that particular respect, like Qatar, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, they will have their own little mini league between themselves. So they're always going to want to try and keep one up in each other. So yeah.
They
so go.
Like they might just bring in Mbappe or something, so they beat
them. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that it might sound a little bit far fetched, but like I said, that's what I'm leaning to. But time should tell. Time will tell, innit? Time will tell.
Exactly, mate. And that's the thing. Like, you know, we have absolutely no idea how long this process is going to take. Yeah. Whether it's going to be days, weeks, months, or even years. Like, we just don't know. And obviously, I think the most important thing to remember, and I think I kind of underestimated this when the news came out, to be honest, is there's going to be so much going around. There's going to be so many ITKs on Twitter saying, you know, something's imminent or someone's in the race.
It's LA Clippers. Sorry.
Yeah, LA Clippers. Yeah, David said it's the Clippers. I think Dow said the Lakers.
Yeah.
He
put my hand in his pocket, though. So, yeah, it might be.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I don't know too much about this guy, but a quick search of his name on Twitter, and it seems like the general consensus is that a lot of Liverpool fans, if this is the guy that buys a club, it seems like a lot of people seem to be happy or warming towards him, at least.
He puts his hand in his pocket. But yeah. I watch basketball, so he made a trade to get kind of the two of the well-known players in the league and put his hand in his pocket to do it. The wages they're on are ridiculous. So he seems like he wants to win. So yeah, it might not be a bad thing. 75 billion is not chicken change, is it?
There we are. Yeah, exactly. But I think you make a good point, mate. And the human rights thing, I think it's important to kind of, I love word this. I'm not saying don't read into it, but like we don't know what happens. Like without being too political, I'm not educated enough to sit here and say this guy shouldn't own Liverpool because he does this. This guy doesn't do this. This guy does this. Like you said, mate, you could probably find flaws with every single potential buyer that's going to buy our club. You know, that's just how it is. That's how the world works. That's how the richest people in the world, like you say, they're not saints. So. Is Steve Ballmer perfect? Probably not. There's probably something that people will find out about him. Are the Dubai guys perfect? I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to do research. But the point that I'm trying to make is if we're going to sell the club, we have to sell it to somebody that can afford it. And to afford it, you've got to have 5 billion minimum. And then you've got to keep investing. And if you're turning a blind eye to people because of their, you know, political stances or what they do that's a bit or very controversial, who's going to be left? You know what I mean? Like, if we want the club sold and you're picking and choosing because this happens or this might happen or this doesn't happen, then, okay, there might not be anyone to buy the club, is what I'm saying. So it's not ideal, obviously, if somebody comes in that doesn't align with the club's morals, doesn't align with the club's views. In fact, I would probably hate it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's the world, the way the world's going in, and, you know, you look at all our other clubs and all our other rivals. I made a tweet about this earlier, mate. If City fans turn around and said no to their owners because of their
they won't be
morals
there.
And views, they're on no Premier League titles. If Newcastle did the same, they're relegated. Look, beggars can't be choosers, I don't think. Like I say, and I will always emphasize this, the club's morals are so important to me, to all the other fans, of course. Like, we have to stay, you know, to our values. We have to stay true to ourselves, of course. That goes without saying. But like we said, mate, and we've echoed this a million times, I don't know any billionaires that are going to be able to come in here that are perfect, that are saints, that have a halo above their head. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know if you've got anything to add, mate.
No. You said it all. Just that. Just it's going to be an interesting couple of months, and to see who. And like you said, they're going to be all just to get clicks and views and stuff. They're going to be a lot of people that are not verified making statements about, oh, this person's made this bid and this person's made that bid. The only people I'm looking at is Ornstein and Paul Joyce.
Yeah,
those are the two I mean to look at when stuff happens about Liverpool, because they're on numerous occasions.
Yeah, and Dominic King just put a tweet out from, it's a quote from Jurgen Klopp addressing the developments with FSG. And he said, "For me, this means nothing. Whatever happens, I really like how we work with these owners. But if anything changes, I am really committed to this club. As far as I know, we are looking for investors." That's what Jurgen Klopp's had to say on the matter. And I think that commitment thing is very interesting, right? Because there's been a lot of talk that if we do get new owners, are you worried about Jurgen Klopp's position at the club? What if they come in and they want a new manager? Or what if they come in and they want to change things?
If we get an owner and they want to change the manager, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
It's as simple as that.
So the fact that he's saying to the media that he's committed to the club no matter what, because there was a lot of people saying, oh, if we get like Dubai or Qatar, Klopp will walk because it doesn't fit in with his morals. But he's literally just said in his interview that he's committed to the club no matter what. So
No. He's not going anywhere. I think over the last couple of weeks, the media, or not even media, but this certain parts of people take his comments out of context and stuff like that. Listen, at the end of the day, they're his employees. If he don't like it, he can quit. But I doubt he will. That's just my opinion. I don't think he's that much entrenched that you think, oh no, I'm not going to work for these guys. What he said before is that, look, we can't compete because there's nations that look out that manage that own teams. And he's right. We can't. So nothing.
But we might be able to soon.
Well, I hope fingers and toes crossed. But what he said hasn't been out of pocket. So, yeah, Klopp is not a stupid guy, man. He's very astute, man. So people will always take his comments out of context. But this guy, I have a strong feeling that he, not even a strong feeling, I know he'll see out his contract and whatever happens after that, from there.
Absolutely, guys, and that is where we're going to wrap it up, because we've been doing this for half an hour. Obviously, the penalty shootout took it on, but I think we've covered everything, Shiggs, to be fair. Have you got any closing words to say about the team or whatever? Or
no, I'm just happy we got through. Happy for the lads that got a taste of playing at Anfield, especially Ramsey's first proper game. Kelleher's. That Anfield is like his couch now. You know, his second nature.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, no, happy for the team. Hopefully, we don't get another snore fest.
Well, if we get through, mate, that's all that matters. So, you know what I mean?
Very true. Very true.
But guys, thank you for tuning in once again. It's been a brilliant pod with me and Shiggs. We're on a roll at the minute with these. We keep doing them all the time.
Ain't broke.
Exactly. Don't fix it. But guys, like I said, smash the like button if you've enjoyed it and if you've got to this far. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you guys after Southampton, where hopefully we'll end the first half of the season on winning ways heading into the World Cup. So take care, and we'll see you next time.
Later.